Jim to come around and preach what the Lord's put on his heart, carry out the service.
Daniel chapter number 3. Appreciate the singing. I want to be able to love him more. And I'm glad I know I'm saved. For salvation is the greatest thing that can happen to any man on this side of life. If you found your place, I'd ask that you'd stand as we read the Word of God. We'll begin reading in verse 14. It says, "And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and arose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Brother Taylor, will you pray for us? If you read chapter number 2 of Daniel, you'll see that the king has a dream and his spirit's troubled. And he goes and he tries to send for all the Chaldeans, the astrologers, the magicians, whoever he can find to tell him the interpretation of this dream. And he finds no man but Daniel can do so. And at the end of chapter number 2, you see the king makes a statement and said, tells Daniel and all those around, says that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings. But now here in chapter number 3, after Daniel's interpreted his dream, we find a contradiction that he's made here, where first he says that Daniel's God is a God of gods, but now we see that he's made a golden image and set it up that we might worship. And he gathers everyone together to have a dedication and a ceremony to this rather large piece of jewelry that he has set up. And the herald tells him that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimers, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image. And he says that if you refuse to bow and you refuse to worship this image, then at that same hour you're going to be cast into the burning fiery furnace. And we live in a day and age where it seems like everyone and everywhere you turn is bound to bow to the gods of this world, bound to bow to do anything coming and going. There's peoples whose lives are controlled by things. Every moment they wake up, their lives are controlled by some kind of idol. They're bound by something, whether it be drugs or alcohol or immorality, whatever it may be. There's people who are dealing with that. And I'm just not talking about a golden calf or a statue that's been set up, but there's peoples whose lives are bound by bitterness and hate and anguish towards one another. There's people whose lives are bound by wealth and money, doing whatever they can to attain another dollar or another time. There's people who are bound by themselves, worshiping only themselves and none other. And I think back in my life, I was bound to a ball and a bat, doing whatever I could to do that. And I was bound by popularity, doing whatever it took to fit in and be accepted in this world. But I'm thankful for some people who refused to bow to the gods of this world, people who refused to give in, people who refused to quit, people who made an impact on my life, people who were bound by prayer, and people who were bound by burdens, bound by faithfulness, and paved a way for me that I might see that you don't have to bow in the day and age we live. But there also was a Savior who was bound by this flesh, who's willing to come and die for lost sinners that we might be able to be saved, bound to do the Father's will. And just for a few moments, I want to preach on the thought, bound to get loose. And the first thing I want to look at here is we see the servant's decision. Here in verse 18 it says, "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." And if you haven't noticed, but there's a lot of people who would rather take the temporal than the eternal. They're choosing what's temporary over than what's eternal. And I know we live in a day and age where there's nothing but seemingly temporary choices and temporary consequences and temporary effects. But you better understand that there are some eternal things and there are eternal consequences for choices that which are made. And you know, you can say that I would not bow to a statue, or I would not bow to a golden image, but let me say that if everyone else was doing it and your life depended on it, things may be different. I'm not just talking about, just as I said, it's not just a golden staff, but there was life requirements on these boys. There were life-threatening things threatening them. They were told that if they did not bow, they would be tossed and destroyed in this fire. And you know, you may say that there are no statutes and there are no idols set up, but let me say there are requirements that have been set in place in the country which we call America, the very homeland in which we live in. You say, "I don't believe it." Well, there's requirements and statutes set in place forcing people to recognize that homosexuality is just as equal. People were forced to accept abortion as being legal. You are forced to accept that. You go to a schoolhouse and that's being thrown in the young people's face each and every day, and you say, well, there's no laws or rules against that. Well, you go into a schoolhouse full of with a classroom full of kids and tell them that homosexuality is not pleasing, that abortion is not wrong, that Jesus Christ is the only answer, and see what happens. And I can assure you the last thing you'll hear there is an amen. You may not be took to jail now, but there, I can assure you'll be ran out of there quicker than what you can think. But the faith here represented here by these boys is often overlooked. It's not given much attention given to it, because you see here, here's where you separate the half-hearted Christians from the true, genuine Christians. Because no doubt, I can't imagine ever standing before somebody with life-threatening requirements on this. These boys had no clue what to expect, no clue what to do, probably, if the truth be known. But they did know what not to do. They knew what not to do. They knew that regardless whatever would happen to them, regardless whatever was going to take place, they knew that they could not bow, and they knew that they would not bow. And you know, these boys didn't have an if-then attitude about the thing. They didn't say, well, God, if you'll do this, then I won't bow. Or God, if you'll do this for me, then I'll do this for you. No, friend. They said, regardless, sink, swim, float, or drown, we're not bowing and we're not giving in to these idols. They said, we're not doing it. Regardless what happens. They didn't have no if-then attitude. They said, regardless what, whether our lives is at stake, regardless what may take place down the road, we're not bound. And I thank God that there was a Savior that didn't have an if-then attitude towards me. He didn't say, Taylor, hey, if you'll do this, I'll come. I'll die for you. He didn't say that I had to do this. All I was a sinner without no hope, had no plea of my own, could not save myself. But thank God He came and saved me that I might not have to die. It says scarcely for a righteous man, but God commendeth His love toward sinners, that I was a sinner and I had no hope, no hope of my own, because all we did was fall short, come short of the glory of God. Sinned. Sinners was all we were. I've heard that tossed around, that we did not deserve nothing, and we didn't. We have not got what we just deserve, and had we got it, we'd be in hell this very moment. I thank God that there's a Savior bound to do the Father's will. And this is the kind of faith that we need to have towards God, regardless what may lie ahead. Love, whether if you're loved. Forgive, whether if you're ever forgiven. And I think about how many times I've been loved when I refused to love. How many times have I forgave when I didn't get forgiven? I wonder about that. How many times God's watched over my life, kept me safe out on the roads, kept me from things that I may not even know about, but yet how many times do I fall on my face in prayer? How many times do I return the love, whether if it's ever given to me? These servants made a decision in verse 18, said, regardless what takes place, we're not bowing. But secondly, there was a sentence declared unto these boys. If you read verses 19 through 21, you'll see that when they refused to bow, that they were to be cast into the burning fiery furnace. And three times in verses 21 through 24, the word bound was used. It says they were bound in their coats, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. In verse 24, says, did we not cast three men bound into the fire? And the meaning behind that word is tied up, entangled. Could not get loose. And when they were cast into this burning fiery furnace, what happens was they were tied together, taking away any chance of them ever escaping on their own. Says that they were the most mightiest men came to bound these boys and throw them in this fire. But if you read there, the men that came to throw them in the fire was the very ones that got slew. Because had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego died in that fire, death would have came to their relief. But those men that threw them in there, I don't believe death came to their relief, because I believe they went from one fire to another fire. I believe they went from one pit to another pit. And if anybody dies lost without Jesus Christ, then death will not come to their relief. Death is not going to be a way of escape in this life. Death is just going to be a continual into a burning fire that's never going to cease. Where the worm dieth not, is what the Bible says. But these three Hebrew boys were to be bound. But I thought about a Christian life. And I know a lot of people try to paint it as the easiest life to live. but I haven't been in this thing very long. I haven't been serving God very long. But I've found that this is not the easiest life. I thought about when I lived a carefree life, when things didn't bother me, when I had no care about what was going to lie ahead for me, I had no care about eternal matters. I had no care. I lived a careless life. And don't get me wrong, it's a joy to be saved. That's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. But there are some things that Christians have to face that just ain't easy and just plain hard. There's times when it's not real easy to live right. And it's not real easy to do right. It's not always easy at work when everybody else is cussing and carrying on, to go somewhere by yourself where you don't have to hear those things. That's not always the easiest thing. Sometimes it's just lonely, and there's hardships and there's struggles that I don't even understand. If I stood up here tonight and told you that I did, I'd be lying, because there's things in my own very life that I do not understand, have no clue why they're going on. But the biggest thing I've ever faced in my Christian walk was discouragement. And I remember when I decided that, you know, I was done with that life, that I couldn't live it no more, that God had just been too good to me, and I was scared to run from His love and run from His mercy anymore. And I sold out to that. And you know, I had several friends that I love and still love today and still care about, that I thought surely they'd always be there, and they'd always stand behind me, and they'd always be there when I called or text. I'd always get a reply. But you know, I found it funny. I haven't found many of those. They haven't always been there like I thought they would. And I don't understand that. I don't understand why that happens. But you know, I thought, you know, maybe if I do right, maybe if I try to live right in front of them, maybe they'll get right. Maybe they'll decide to live right. Maybe they might sell out, or maybe they might just be happy on Friday or Saturday night, just going out to eat and not going to a party, or not going to drink or doing anything like that. I thought surely they'd be okay with that. But to my surprise, I found out that wasn't the case. That they didn't really care what I wanted to do. That they were going to do what they wanted to do. They were going to do the things that they were bound to. That they were going to follow what they was going to do. And I do know what it's like on Friday or Saturday night to look through my phone trying to find somebody to call, trying to find somebody to hang out with, somebody that isn't doing the things that the friends that I grew up with and grew to love and grew close to, and the bonds and the friendships that were made there. I tried that, and I understand what it's like not having much to do on a Friday or Saturday night when you have to sit at home and you just pretty much feel like you're not important at all. That's pretty much how you feel. And you know, I know what that's like when you seem like even the people who are supposed to care seemingly don't. Times when you really just don't even know where to turn to. Times when you really don't know which way to go and really have no clue what lies ahead. I know what it's like to be under that kind of burden. And there's things that Christians face that nobody else will ever understand unless they are a Christian. There's things that a world does not understand unless they become a Christian. They're not familiar with those types of things, whether if it's a burden, whether if it's a care or upsetting sin that seemingly just has your life bound. You wouldn't understand that unless you was a Christian, whether if you tried to serve God and whether you tried to sell your life out. But there are sentences that are declared on Christians' life that seemingly do have them bound. And you know, you go, there's times when you even go to pray and it feels like you can't even get anything through, that you don't even feel the presence of God even around, that the only presence you feel is seemingly the adversary. And you know, these boys, when they were standing there before the king, no doubt they looked to their left and they looked to their right, and all they saw was people bowing. They saw people on their right hand bowing. They saw people on their left hand bowing. And seemingly they're the only ones standing standing before God trying to do right. What seems to be a hopeless situation, their life is now on the line. Their life could end here shortly. And you know, I can't imagine what they're going through at this time. But you know, they see people bowing, and they see people bowing here. And they're just standing there all alone. And there's things in my own life that I really just wish I couldn't care about, but I can't help but to care about it. There's burdens that Christians carry that they really seemingly would not like to carry, but you can't help but to carry those burdens. You can't help but to bear them. There's things that bother Christians that you would rather not bother you, but yet you can't help to let it bother you. How discouraging. And but then you see here when things couldn't possibly get any worse for these boys, they do. It says in verse 23 that they fell down bound, meaning that they could no longer stand. I thought about those boys trying to stand there, doing everything they possibly can to stand and not fall, doing everything they possibly can just to make it, but yet they could not. When things seemingly couldn't get worse for them, they finally do. And you're trying your best when you go to work, and you're trying your best when you come home from work, and you're trying your best when you're not at work, or when you're here, or when you're there, and seemingly you just fail each and every time. You're faced with a certain temptation, but yet you give into it each and every time. You're faced with this, but yet you fall into it. And seemingly, you can't do nothing about it. Just seeming absent or a temptation or something, a care that you just seemingly cannot get to God and you don't understand. But these boys are bound and they're getting ready to be tossed into this fire. And I can't even imagine what's going on through their minds. What they might be saying to each other. What they might be telling to the one beside of them. Saying, boys, this is it. Was it worth it? Here's our life is seemingly about to be over. Everybody else has bowed. Everybody else has gave in. Everybody else has traded the eternal for the temporal. Everybody else has gave in to those things. But yet, here we are, and we're about to die for this matter. But you know, the story does not end there. Although I do not know exactly where them boys stood at with their life on the line, with the requirements faced at them, told them that if they did not bow, they were going to die. I've never been there. But I can't imagine how they felt when they did get in the fire. I can't imagine what they felt whenever they did see the Savior standing there. And regardless what commentators may say or believe, but I believe that's Jesus Christ pre-incarnate in the flesh standing in the fire with these boys, and we see that they are loose. And I thought about times when I hit my knees in praying unworthy prayer, seeming that they could not be answered. Prayed several times, and yet there was no answer. Prayed several times, didn't feel any presence about it. But then that time when I hit my face, when seemingly there cannot be any way to go, when there cannot be any more road to travel, and I feel the presence of God, and finally feel like I got through. And these boys here, they once were bound, but yet deliverance has been brought to them. They once were caught up, tied together in this fire, but yet they found the Savior standing in the midst of their fire, in the midst of their promise, bringing deliverance to thee and bringing help to thee and bringing hope in a hopeless situation. And I thank God that we do serve a Savior that can bring life out of a dead situation. And you know, it's in the presence of Jesus Christ, in the presence of the cross, in the presence of Calvary, where we do find our help, where we do find strength, where we do. And you know, I can't imagine what they felt when them bonds and them fetters, those troubles and cares which they seemingly had tied their lives up. I can imagine what it felt like when they came off, when they were loose walking around in the fire, because I can guarantee you they walked that fire inside out, upside down, however you want to do it. That's what they were doing. You know, old Nebuchadnezzar thought that he had them bound, just like in the book of Jeremiah. They thought that they had the word of God bound, but guess what? It got loose, just like Peter and John. John when they were in the jail cell, in prison for preaching the gospel, said they cannot help but to tell the things which they seen and heard, and thank God they got out. But you can also go to a tomb outside the city of Jerusalem where death seemingly had our Savior bound, where death had holds on his life, and they thought that that was the end. They thought that they'd never see him no more, but there was a third and glorious morning where he did get up, where he was bound, but guess what? He came loose, and guess what? You and I can have that same loosing. We can have that same freedom in our lives because there is a Savior that did live on that third day, and thank God he's no longer in that tomb. He is alive. Although he was bound, that stone was there, but guess what? The stone rolled away. Amen. And I haven't been through a whole lot in my life, but I've been through enough to know that he is faithful and that he is true and that he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that he will never leave me and he will never forsake me. I haven't had a lot of things happen to me in my life, but he has been the best thing that's ever happened to my life. He has been the greatest. I've never found the joy and the peace that I have when I lay my head on my pillow at night and rest assured that he is alive and that I'll live, and this life is not what there all is, because there is a grand loosening day for the child of God. I don't know what you're facing. There's people who've dealt with things their whole life, been bound by things their whole life, not understood why, but guess what? There was a grand loosening day for them, for a child of God, that this life is not in, that you know you can deal with things your whole entire life, never seeming to get loose from them, but guess what? There does come a grand loosening day. There's people, lame men who've never been able to walk, bound by crippleness, bound by maimedness. But guess what? Don't you be surprised when you see them skipping across streets of gold. There's people who've never been able to see. There's been people who've never been able to hear. But guess what? They're going to be seeing clearly on the other side. They're going to be hearing clearly on the other side. And I'm glad that I'm just a pilgrim on this journey, that I'm just passing through, that this is not my home, that I do have a grand loosening day coming. And for the child of God, there is a loosening day coming. Although we may be bound by this flesh right now, but that's not the end of the story. There's a better day coming. There's hope coming for the child of God. There may not be hope at the end of the tunnel now. There may not be a light shining, but guess what? If you know Jesus Christ, there does come a loosening day. There is hope in this life, and it's just temporary. But as we stand, that's the message on my heart. As Jordan or whoever comes, you know, I can't help to look and mention this in the text, but you know, the very person that condemned these boys to be cast in the burning fiery furnace, the one that commanded them, the very one that inflicted this on them, we read at the end of this story that he tells them to come out. And things aren't going to be like they are right now. There's going to be a change and there's going to be a difference. I don't know what's going on in your life, but there is help to be found. I don't know what things seemingly have you bound, but there does come a day when there's no more heartache, when there's no more pain, there's no more tears, no more burdens to care. And that day's a-coming as they sing.